week, Breck and Elizabeth and I did go visit St. Mary's Parish in Mount Angel. It's a Spanish-speaking church, and they had been broken into the week before and had some things stolen and their communion elements kind of trashed. But part of the church has a nonprofit office that they support and are a part of, and it's a it helps undocumented immigrants, and they keep files on people, and they help hire pro bono attorneys for immigration issues, and they do a lot of help for prisoners and try to connect them, or people in detention centers, and try to connect them with their families. And so they do quite a bit with not a lot. And that office was broken into, and all of the files were gone through, and they don't really know what necessarily happened to the files or what they were looking for or anything like that. So it was quite traumatic for them. So we went to visit them and just to show support. And there were seven other white folks there, and or they refer to us as U.S. citizens. And it was a moving time, and it's something that I probably won't ever forget. And so I'm going to share some of that. But really, the message is about God and changing our hearts. And that's really what I hope comes through, and that we all need a heart change, in a sense. And so I'm going to focus on the undocumented immigrant, because that's who I've been thinking about and who really touched me last week. So, and I'm an undocumented immigrant. I've been on the Immigration and Customs website quite a bit this week. So, undocumented immigrant is a foreign-born person who doesn't have a legal right to be or remain in the United States. And so, I'm going to talk about our Hispanic neighbor, the migrant worker. There's lots of names. Illegal aliens is also a name. That's actually a derogatory term, and it's considered demeaning. So I'm going to refer to them, our neighbors, as undocumented immigrants, because that's kind of what they want us to know as well. So we showed up at church, and Father Samuel is an Episcopal priest. He's young, he's in his 30s, he's married, and he's really awesome. And he has two beautiful kids and a wife named Blanca. And there were 10 other members of this church that showed up. And so it was a very small church service. Their church had been broken into, so we couldn't have church in the main building. We had it in a dining hall, so it was very intimate. And initially, they were sort of over there, and we were over here, and Father Samuel did a good job of sort of bringing us together. There was definitely a language barrier, and Father Samuel was our interpreter, and he did a good job. His message was really something that I'm going to speak on today, because it's something I've just been thinking about, and it's on Corinthians 1 Corinthians 3:5, and this is Paul speaking to the church, and Apollos was a church leader like Paul, and it says, "What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed," that's Paul speaking, "Apollos watered it, but God," this is the important part, "has been making it grow." And so Father Samuel shared this, and he gave his homily first in Spanish, and then he gave it in English, and he told us he was just going to speak a little bit in English, and he ended up speaking quite a bit in English. And there was not initially any eye contact. I think us visitors were more likely to maybe try to give some eye contact, but there wasn't really a lot coming back at us. And Father, yes? I know. I'm getting to that. Jeez. I know. You're turning red. That's good. So, Father, I have my own way. It's not sequential. Okay. So, Father Samuel shared first, and then he turned to us, and it was very, there's only 10 of us there. And he said, "We're afraid." And we're very afraid. And there are many families here tonight who are not here because they're afraid. And they're afraid they're being watched. And, they didn't know why they were broken into or something. It's essentially a hate crime is how they were looking at it. So they're afraid of being deported, especially now. And so Father Samuel shared a story of when 4 years ago. So this is before our current administration. So we can kind of say, oh, well, this started here and all. No. So, and he was working. Now, I'm not quite sure. He was working with a working visa down in Fresno, California. And he wanted to move to Oregon. And the place he was working for, I'm not sure if it was a parish or who, said, if you go to Oregon, we're going to take away your working visa. And so he came to Oregon without a working visa. So essentially he became, undocumented, no papers. And he talked about how scary that was and how he knew that he was breaking the law and how he knows everybody there in that room and their whole parish essentially is breaking the law. And they don't want to break the law. And so he was driving around without a driver's license. And, this guy, this is a priest. This is a one, it's like, you know, it, anyway, it was just like, it made me sit up. So in our country, the law for a refugee or immigrant, and refugee and immigrant, they're different. I know Breck talked about the refugee last week, is that they're expected to follow the laws of our land. Well, they know that, and they know that they're not. Okay. So ICE is who they're very afraid of. And I learned a whole bunch about ICE this week. I went online, and if you haven't done that, it's very interesting. And it's the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And it was put in place after 9/11, okay? So, but it's been beefed up, as we all know. And there's been a charge to sort of kind of, you know what I'm talking about. Send people who are undocumented essentially back, okay, and for those who are here illegally, and I won't read that. But Father Samuel says, now there's no eye contact in the room yet, and then Father Samuel says, but there is a higher law. Who is better, Apollos or Paul? Who is better, you or us? Small room, you or us, who's better? There's no one better but God, amen. Right? And there was a few, there was this one particular woman, and she just kind of looked up at us like, and looked at me like, kind of, how do you react to that? And it was very, it was challenging, and I can smile and do all sorts of things, but I'm like, I know my heart. I know my divided heart. I know what I want and what I, there's just this, you know what I'm talking about. It's good. It's good for me. And so we are equal, he said. We're equal. And God is above us. And we can get caught up. I'm changing his words a little bit. We can get caught up in the law and forget that we're equal brothers and sisters. So I have a few verses on equality. I had a lot, but I'm just going to share a few. I got really going on it. And so the first one is Galatians 3:28. Thanks, Tanner. And it is, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And there was this pastor from Kansas. My husband's from Kansas. And he remarked, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, is that there's no better Bible verse on equality than this one. Because it includes gender, social position, and nationality. So Romans 2:11 is, for God shows no partiality. And which really means God doesn't favor one person over another. He's not a respecter of persons. And what Jesus does not do is he does not have unfair bias, favoritism. He doesn't like you better than me, and he doesn't love me better than you. He doesn't have fondness for one over the other. He does give us favor, though, right? And Proverbs is loaded with favor, and it's about why we get favor and why we don't. But I think I'm speaking for me. I can mistake my favor, right, for being better than someone, for being preferred, for doing something right, for doing it really right, for doing it so good, I must have done something good, and for being superior, and mistaking material possessions, right, for that God's partial. And that can just be proof that I'm better, and that I can look down on someone or feel superior. Leviticus 19:34. And there's lots of, I just looked at this one version, and then Tanner and I were in the back, and there's lots of versions, and it's Leviticus 19:33-34, and it's when a stranger sojourns, which means temporarily stay, and other verses that, in other translations it says oppressed, but in this one I liked, when a stranger sojourns or temporarily stays with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. And you shall treat that person, that stranger, as native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. And one of the things that came out during this small little church gathering, because there was a time of sharing at the end, was that we don't want to sojourn here. We want to be among you. We want to live around, we want to be with you. And so, and that they love the United States. They want to be a part. But we've made it pretty difficult for that to happen. So Acts 10:34-35, and then Peter opened his mouth, and Peter opened his mouth a lot, and he had this revelation, is that truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable. The main part I want to focus on is that partiality is extended to anyone in any nation. And that includes Mexico and our Hispanic neighbors, our brothers and sisters. And then we all know this one, Mark 12:30, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Who's our neighbor? It's everybody. But I'm going to be real honest. In our culture, it's hard to not think that the lesser person is the person crossing over the border to us. So Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, because you're doing right when you love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal love. That's royal law. And James talks a lot about the royal law. And if you show favoritism, you sin, and you're convicted by law as lawbreakers. So we're all equal. We're all lawbreakers, right? Yeah, that's right. So there's the next part was a peace be with you, which we're going to do later. And at this time in the service, you know, we're still all sort of, you know, sort of divided up still. And then there was this part in the liturgy where it's the peace be with you and that, you know, the also with you. I used to call it that, the peace be with you and the also with you. And then we had communion and we're all invited to communion. And it was just a beautiful time. And I'm telling you, something in the room broke. It was like, it did. Right. It was beautiful. It was, and there was so much, there was just this love that kind of came. It was good. And then we sat back down and we're like thinking we're going to go. And Samuel's like, have a seat. And he invited us and said, you know, there's probably a lot of wisdom in this room and we'd like to hear your wisdom. And well, guess what? They shared first because they've got some wisdom. And he was inviting them too. And so Blanca, Father Samuel's wife, shared first. And she said, we need your help. And it was like, it's a hard thing to hear. And we need white U.S. citizens, right? Because we got the power. And we need your help. And there, because of the language barrier, it was a kind of tough to know, and that's actually why I went on the ICE website, was like, well, how do you help? And it was tough. I really couldn't find anything concrete to do, but they took our name, our numbers, and our email addresses. And they were essentially saying, we need somebody to stand up for us because they're fearful that something's going to happen. So then Alejandra, she's the director of this 401c3 nonprofit agency. And when she had come around to the peace be with you when you shake hands, she bowed her head to us. Oh, it just was like, don't, you know? Yeah. And they thanked us for coming. And anyway, so she struck me. I didn't know who she was. And then she gets up and starts talking. It's like, dang it. I was so moved by her, I looked her up online because I thought, you know, I bet there's something about this woman. And there surely there was. And she started this nonprofit a few years ago. She got up and said that she's undocumented. And she's been here for a long time, and she's got kids that were born here, and she's got grandkids, and she loves the United States. And then she went on to tell us what she does, and you know, then her little center was broken into. So I looked her up, and I hope I have it on here. The article was in the Oregonian, and it was in the 2015 article. And her name is Alejandra Lilly. And the question was, what does it feel like to be undocumented? And she compared it to being a little girl in a family who is treated very differently than her brothers and sisters. Quote, every night before I go to sleep, I thank God for not being deported. And every morning, I pray to stay in the United States one more day. Life is an uncertainty. So she went on for a while and talked about how they help people in the detention center and all that sort of thing, and how she herself is afraid. And so 1 Corinthians 3:5 is essentially someone plants a seed, and I'm going to stretch it a little bit, and I believe that, and I've just been thinking about it so much, is that I think there's a seed of honesty that to look at ourselves, because I know that I'm speaking to people, and I know that we do that, but is that in your mind and heart, and I'm asking this myself, is who is better? And do you think that you're better? I'm asking myself. Do you have feelings of superiority? And maybe it's not this group, maybe it's a different group, you know? It's like, we're all different. Or do you feel inferior? Have you allowed others or told yourself who you are rather than asking God who he says you are? And are you allowing them to tell you who you are? Or are you going to him to find out who he says you are? Because really, that's where our love stems from, is we know we're loved, and then we love. And that's, so we're all on a journey. There's no perfection in this. It's like, there's no getting there. Jesus is the one. And do you love? And are there certain areas in your heart that are stony? And so our culture says that we can make ourselves better, and we're just bombarded with that. That it's in our strength, and if we try harder, and if we do, and you know, there's so much we're so infiltrated with it that my self-effort will change me. But God makes us grow, right? We have parts that we do, and we have our rule, we have our things that we do, and we've been given that we do well, but that we're called to act on what he asks us to do, but he's the one. He's the one that makes us grow. He's the one that transforms our heart. Yes. So we're all equal, and we're equal in that we cannot change ourselves. And we're all equal in that we're powerless to transform ourselves in our hearts. God has the power to change us. And the thing is that if we could change ourselves, we wouldn't need God, and we'd just give ourselves all the credit. Which is kind of, you know, So it's important to be honest, right? It's important. It's not easy to do. I think that was the thing about being in face to face with somebody, it's like, oh God, I could feel this, like, man, I want to be better. And I didn't know I needed to be better so much. It's like, I want to love you. I want to, but I don't want to just say I do. You know, it's just, anyway, you know what I'm saying. Okay. So I know that we come and we're all on this path and then we're endeavoring to do something. And, you know, to whatever, in this setting, maybe to know Jesus more, to know the love of the Father, you know, to find out who this wonderful Holy Spirit is and what. So, but our weakness, all of us together, gives God the glory. Our weakness does. Our weakness gives God the glory. Because when he changes us, he gets the glory. Well, there's a lot of opportunity for glory, right? There's a lot. And and he loves us so much. I know some of us, we don't know that. I know there are parts of me that don't know it. I don't. There are some that do, and there's parts of me that don't. And he does not condemn us, so he's not condemning. If you have a sense of condemnation, that's not him speaking. So it's relational. He's a relational God. So it's not a, you know, it's like you get to maybe have your heart change and then you got to find out you got another spot. So anyway, that's it. They invite us to like their, Alejandra invited us to like her Facebook page. I actually deactivated my Facebook account and then she invited us. I'm like, okay. So I went back on and there's a lot of fear on that site. There's a lot. And the very next day, Monday, there was an article in the paper. It was about the Woodburn undocumented immigrant that was picked up and sent to the detention center in Tacoma. And more than likely, they know him or have worked with him. And he's been in the United States for 30 years. You know, he paid his taxes and has family and paid, you know, he's paying the rent or whatever it is. And so what she said really hit home the next day. Ugh. So anyway, that's what I got. I just thought, you know, that God, he's good. And I would feel really hopeless, and I don't actually, but I have the hope that he really illuminates our stuff. And he's the God of light. And so he's always going to be shining light in the dark places. That's where he shines. That's what makes him so great. So we've got a lot of opportunity. It's a wonderful thing. And he wants us to praise him for that. He wants us to praise him for our junk and our meanness and our judgmental stuff and our superiority and our thinking that we're better and or we're less, whatever. So, okay. So Lord bless us. So we're going to have communion. And I, oh, yes.
Oh.
Yes. That's right. I was going to mention that. Yes. So that's right. There is, and I put that in my notes at the very beginning, and I saw that I skipped over it. But there's a rally today at the state capitol, and it's an immigration rally, and it's from 11. It starts at 11, and it goes quite a long time to like 4 or 5, and it's on this whole immigration thing. And I just want to say that, and we're not talking politics here. I'm leaving politics out. So, but I just want to say that President Trump is equal to us. And he's no better and he's no less. And those laws were put in place before he came in. So I think there's a sense of there's a little bit more awareness about what's going on. And that's sad. So there's some being aware is a good thing. So, but he needs us. And if Hillary Clinton were president, she'd need us too. Right? They've got their hearts of stone like we do. Okay, I just want to say that. All right, let's see. Oh, right. Okay, communion. Oh, yes.
You know, you're mentioning how the immigrants have all this fear.
Yeah.
Well, Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Spirit, we got to break.
Right.
Spirit,
yes.
Both sides of this, because
right.
We look at things from fear instead of hope.
Yes, and I talked, and I tell you, I think when I was thinking about talking about this, I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many things, and that was one of the angles, was like, you know, we are fearful, and what's the root of our fear? We really don't know, in a sense, how loved we are.
Amen.
You know, that's a whole other, we could go on and on about that, so. Yes, that was the thing about being there on Sunday, was this love that we felt from people that were afraid of us. You know, because they didn't know why we were there. There was some like, what are these people doing here? And we didn't even understand that in the beginning. We were just like, oh, smiling, being all whatever. I was like, oh, boy. You know? And then I'm talking for me. As I toned it down, you know, like, oh. Somebody else, yes. 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 Detention centers. Yeah.
Like, say now that Woodburn guy, is he in
Tacoma? Yeah, he's in a Tacoma. He's in the man from Woodburn who was picked up is in a detention center in Tacoma, and they have different rights than. Let's say somebody picked up and put in the jail, which is what this nonprofit does, is they help sort of support these people that are taken because they can't talk to their families.
Oh, they can't. Oh,
nope. Yeah, so there are immigration lawyers. But part of the problem, this is the other thing that came up, is that a lot of times they don't know their rights, so they don't know what to ask for, and so that's part of it. They're trying to do some real education is what they do. They do classes at this place to say, and they're beefing that up right now so people know kind of what to say or what not to say. And so anyway, did you have a question, Donna? Well, in terms of shame and embarrassment, I think it's a personal heart issue. That's, I mean, in a sense that I, you know, it's like.
But I keep reacting that way in situations where I've been involved. And
mm-hmm.
I just wondered if that was common or just
wrong. Well, I don't, I mean, I guess I can just speak from my own heart about that, as I know kind of where I'm at. And I mean, I guess I do talk to people, but I think the more of the message is just what's in our heart towards people. It's not just the undocumented immigrant. So it's just a good example that hit me hard this week. So anyway, all right. So communion. Yes, we are going to. We're gonna do the peace be with you. And also with you, because when we come up, if you haven't been here before, when we come up for communion, we can get a little chatty, right? That's just fine. And so the peace be with you it's a greeting, and it's really peace is God is peace. He's the God of peace. He's the God of a lot of things. And one of the things that we do when we extend our hand to someone and we say peace be with you is that I'm extending and I'm blessing you with the peace of Christ. What does that mean? He's the God who drives out chaos and division in our own minds and hearts and in our life and division. And he ushers in what? Peace and calm and unity. And so we're extending that to one another.